Today I'm going to do something that I don't think many podcast hosts do. I'm going to remove the veil about who I am. I'm going to expose myself, my views, in a way that maybe no one else is willing to do, so you can understand the way that I tick. What am I going to do, you may ask? I'm going to go with the isidewith.com political quiz. I'm going to read the questions live. I've not looked at these already, and I'm going to answer them honestly according to how I feel about them. And then we'll see. Where do I side? What is my affiliation? Why am I doing this? Because I've often said that I try to find my libertarian beliefs, and I feel that I'm more socially liberal and fiscally conservative. But as I've been doing this show, I find that more and more I'm leaning into the right, meaning I'm identifying more as somebody who is on the right side of things. And now that I'm seeing all these images coming out, the things that the left is justifying, I just cannot find sympathy for many of these issues. And so where I used to be an objective critical thinker on all of these things, I still believe I'm an objective critical thinker, but I believe that my objective comes from a right-leaning spot, and I want to own that, but I want to see what this I side says. I'm also going to talk about the sub-story from last week and why I believe that was a huge distraction for all of us. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I'm your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. It's a new week, but we got to talk a little bit about last week's stories and the distractions and everything that was going on during them. I covered for a while there the Peter Hotez story, and we capped off the week with Dr. Peter McCullough on the show on Friday, talking about what it would take to have a roundtable or a conversation with him. But during all of that, there were so many different headlines that were going on that I could have covered, like Hunter Biden, or I could have covered Joe Biden and what he was getting implicated in, Donald Trump. I could have covered JP Morgan and the destroyed emails regarding Jeffrey Epstein. I could have talked about how Joe Biden, there were articles of impeachment filed. I could have talked about how John Durham finally came out of hiding and spoke and had an absolutely crazy session testifying. I could have talked about the $6.3 billion that were lost in the Ukraine and how maybe that went to the Wagner Group or some other type of sympathizer, and then how that might have hurt other people in our interest over in the Ukraine. Or I could talk about how the story got so twisted by people over the weekend as Russia, everybody was trying to say, oh, this coup, look, everything's going to be good. And all of a sudden, the leftists were rooting on the Wagner Group. Well, I'm not going to get into all that because the first thing that happened was the entire week of stories got completely upended by the Titan submarine. The Titan submarine story hit on Sunday, and the Navy has since revealed that they have some top secret acoustic listening devices where they knew on Sunday that the Titan submarine imploded. They heard it, but they let this story go for almost four more days, over 72 hours, with giving people false hope, country spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on rescue efforts, maybe even millions of dollars with gasoline fuel cost for those ships, millions of dollars spent in search and recovery, and our U.S. Navy knew the entire time. And was anyone talking about Donald Trump's charges, Hunter Biden's charges, Joe Biden's committee that unearthed that there's a whistleblower that claimed that he was involved in Hunter Biden's affairs? Was anyone talking about Jeffrey Epstein and how JP Morgan settled with all of the victims? And then there were so many emails. I don't even have the exact number. I got to pull that up while I'm doing the show today. So many emails that were deleted. Or do we want to talk about how Joe Biden articles of impeachment came out against him? $6.3 billion lost. You know, all these stories that I was just saying, like, all we talked about was the submarine. And why? Because America, we are a bunch of emotional babies. That's why. We get caught up in all of the emotion of all of these stories. It doesn't matter if you're right, you're left. And today we're going to find out exactly what I am. But at some point in time, we just got to call a spade a spade. At some point in time, we got to look at the facts that are simply in front of us and say, you know what? If you're not going to deal with the facts and have honest conversations, then you are my enemy. You're a person that's an enemy of truth. And so when we get down to Peter Hotez, you're an enemy of truth if you feel that science can't be in an open and honest conversation. Donald Trump, if you feel that Donald Trump absolutely did nothing wrong, you're an enemy of truth because we know that Donald Trump did break laws and didn't just cooperate. That's just the truth of the matter. If you don't think that Hunter Biden and the way that these charges were handled was absolute BS, you're an enemy of truth because anybody else gets those charges and the penalty would have been much worse. The gun charge alone is a 10-year, $250,000 maximum charge. Or you are a fraud and you can't say that you have some type of moral authority if you're not willing to look at Joe Biden and whether or not he was involved in Hunter Biden's deals when he was vice president and profiting off of that. Or if you claim that you really want to help people that are victims of sex trafficking, but you look the other way when you see that JP Morgan has settled this court case and destroyed the emails that implicated themselves in this entire thing, and now how we still don't know the people that abused these young women, these young girls, not one person sitting in a jail cell outside of Ghislaine Maxwell in regard to all this, the elite just gets off and you're going to look the other way, then you're an enemy of truth. If you want to spin Joe Biden's impeachment attempt as something that is a fraudulent thing, but yet you're going to stand up and say that quid pro quo with Donald Trump was not something similar to what Joe Biden did, then guess what? You're an enemy of truth. If you're going to not look at the $6.3 billion to the Ukraine that apparently was misrepresented because we overvalued the equipment that we sent and we're like, don't worry, we'll get that $6.3 billion. At the same time, don't question the narrative that all of the newspapers and the news media all of a sudden peddled to you all weekend long. You're an enemy of truth. And if you think that the narrative about the Wagner Group, that this guy actually shot down a bunch of helicopters and planes and killed pilots, and then Putin labeled him a war criminal, and then all of a sudden he's just right outside Kyiv now. He just circles around and in Belarus, and Putin says, forget about all of it. You don't think that there was more to that, that there wasn't money that was funneled, that maybe our alphabet agency, the CIA, was involved? You might be an enemy of truth. Are you seeing where this is going here? See, we deal oftentimes in absolutes and emotions. Now, I understand why the Titan story got to all of us. The Titan story with the submarine got to us for several reasons. The first is when you hear that somebody might be perishing because they only have 72 hours left of oxygen and they're in a very tiny cramped space, your emotional response to that really can kind of ramp up and you can feel yourself in there. When you find out that one of the victims was a 19-year-old, it doesn't matter that these people were billionaires. If you have a heart, you just understand that this is a tragic, tragic scenario. Now, the blessing of all this that we've learned since is that these people went in like 1 millisecond. Their brains did not even have time to process that they were dying. They went from alive to dead in less than a blink of an eye. Their brains would not know. One moment they were breathing, the next moment they're gone. And when I say they're gone, they were really gone. The 16,000 plus PSI that crushed them, turned them literally into liquid, emulsified their bodies in 1 millisecond. I mean, maybe that's not a bad way to go if you're going to go, to not be aware of what is about to happen, not be afraid. But why does that strike us so much? Well, here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is that all of us are on a ticking clock. All of us are dealing with our oxygen level running out. We know not the hour, we know not the day, we know not the time. But that time is ticking for every single one of us. Every single day is a gift. It's not guaranteed. And yet we carry so many things with us that we just take for granted that our significant other, our spouse, our loved ones, we're going to see them later in the day or we're going to see them tomorrow. But that's not guaranteed. It's the sad reality that we deal with. And there's a deep-seated fear in all of us about that, that it's very difficult to come to terms with when we look at a story like the submarine. So as people were focused on the sub and the 72 hours and obsessing over whether the search efforts would have enough time, what really was going on was this emotional drain where you were thinking about, that could be me. That could be me, and there's nothing we could do. But in the back of your brains also know that is you. We are all in a submarine called life, and the time is ticking for each and every single one of us. So what are you going to do about it? Now, maybe we're not getting ourselves in the horrible situations where we're getting ourselves an experimental craft that wasn't approved by anybody that's running with a $30 controller. But certainly, we all make poor decisions in life from time to time. None of us are perfect. And so this story really just blew up. And that's not a pun, but it blew up in the way that the media didn't concentrate on all of these other things that were going on. And I often will tell people, when there are stories that are in the news that don't really represent the stuff that could affect our everyday lives, I start to ask, what are the stories that the media doesn't want us to know about? That's not some type of nefarious type of thing. That's just being aware that the news media normally plays into a new cycle of narrative. And that's why I love having this platform as an alternative media individual to be able to open your eyes to that. Now, I've been thinking pretty harshly about my show. I'm pretty tough on myself, to be quite honest with all of you. I know I do a Monday through Friday. I try to bring you the best content every single day. But I look at my own success, or how is success even measured, right? Or engagement with the content that I put out there. And I spoke with some people before, and you've heard me say this on the show, but I had an individual that I spoke with that many of my listeners might actually listen to this individual's content. He is not on our network, but he's somebody who is a darling with the right. And I say a darling with the right because I know that this guy's got hundreds of thousands of people listening to him. And he told me he listened to my show and he goes, Greg, I'm happy to put articles or whatever you want with what I do. But I'm just letting you know, if you go into like this stuff like, hey, Trump might have deserved something here, or you put anything, you're going to lose almost my entire audience and they're going to want you off my website immediately. And I've been keeping that in my mind because it's one of those parts where I'm trying to blend a line of being completely 100% truthful with my listening audience about who I am. And at the same time, making sure that I'm giving relevant content to my listening audience. And over the weekend, I was invited into a room where people wanted me to explain why I was platforming people like Alex Rosen or the Ammunition Company and others that I've had on my show on the America Out Loud Network. And I said, well, look, I'm like, America Out Loud is a right-leaning network. If you go to I Side With, which is where I'm going to take this political quiz in the second half of the show here about to get started, they will do a media bias check. And I would agree, actually, with I Side Media, where they came out with the America Out Loud Network, that, you know, a lot of the cited sources are going to come from alternative news media that also has its own issues sometimes with bias and being able to claim that they have facts on their side. That does not mean that what you hear on this network is not true. That simply means that some of our content Yeah, like it's very difficult if the mainstream media is not going to tell something to cite and source. We've got to go with the information that's out there, and that can put us in a way that we are seen as a right or far right network. And unfortunately, it's not something that I'm always proud of, but I have my voice here and I know there's awesome people here. And so I said this and somebody said to me, they're like, you know, I can't believe you represented the network in that way, that you would put that out on blast like that. And I said, well, I stand behind every single word that I said. I think I'm probably explaining it a little bit better right now during my show as I'm, you know, taking my time to think through everything. But that's exactly where I stand. And so a friend of mine, Tony, he actually wrote me because he was like, hey, you know, I heard what you're saying about the show and stuff. But basically, his words to me were to own who I am. And so he said, my last thought is probably you just may need to embrace that you're not middle of the road calling balls and strikes. You gravitate to the right's narrative, so the people that will agree with you will be there and in that surrounding neighborhood. So when you chase left-leaning guests, it isn't going to make your opinions more center, and it's not going to make you more objective. And then he wished me well, and I am so thankful to have friends like Tony. I'm so thankful to have friends like Lefty Layman who are willing to come on here and completely disagree with me, but hold me accountable to my words and just tell it like it is. Because I think that that type of transparency is what's necessary for me to own in order to be credible in any way, shape, or form with my listening audience. I started the show, and the show was originally, the original title for it was called The Center with Greg Bolden. And Malcolm and I spoke, and I said, you know, somebody was saying that I should do something with, like, Emboldened with Greg Bolden. And Malcolm and I talked about that, and he's like, well, how about America? I'm like, well, that was another one, America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. And that's the title we go on. He said, well, Greg, I like that better because if you're standing in the center doesn't really stand for anything. And I think that you stand for something listening to you, but I think it's important that you don't become milquetoast. And I really respected when Malcolm said that to me because he's correct. And as I've been doing this show, there's been more and more things that have happened with the left. And I think I kind of had the straw broke the camel's back this weekend with the Seattle Pride Parade. I've had Lefty Layman and I've spoken to a bunch of other people that they all tell me, you know, how the Pride Parade, I'm completely misrepresenting it, that it's such a great thing. But yet I watched as fully naked men were exposing themselves in front of children at the Seattle Pride Parade this weekend. And then I saw at another event, not in Seattle, where a bunch of women are completely topless in front of children celebrating and dancing. Now, I'm just going to tell it like it is here. If that's what the left supports, if the left supports this as this is, you know, the evolving of humanity, that you need to accept this, you need to accept everything. Well, then I cannot in any way, shape, or form call myself somebody that identifies in any way with the left at all. Like that is the line in the sand. The line in the sand is drawn when innocent children are taken to places like this and this type of bull is normalized. I can't go with that. I'm willing to talk with anyone on the left about these type of issues, willing to have them on the show to understand, to ask questions, but that's not me. And I can't endorse that in any way, shape, or form because it is completely polar opposite, the antithesis to anything that I stand for as an individual. So today's episode, I think, is going to be me owning that I'm not middle of the road, as I've been trying to state to my listening audience as much as I would like to be. I think what I am is an objective journalist that's willing to ask questions from an objective standpoint. But I think I do need to own. I lean to the right, and I'm on the America Out Loud network that leans to the right too. And it probably is a very good fit for me. And I need to own that. And I need to own that to the audience right now. So when I come back, I'm going to take this isidewith.com political quiz. I'm going to answer the questions. I'll explain them to you. And then at the end, we'll look at what does it say that I am? Who do I side with? What does it identify me with? I've never taken this before. So we're going to take this together. You can go on and take it as well. isidewith.com/political-quiz. So you'll be able to see where you fall. And I hope this is helpful for you to have my trust moving forward. All right, we'll take a break right here. Hear a word from our sponsors. Make sure you go to AmericaOutloud.com, where you can hear all my colleagues' work, as well as check out the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, which is available on all of your favorite mobile devices in the app stores, as well as on the website, and all of our sponsors to help keep the lights on here at the show. Be right back, everybody. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden here on the America Out Loud Network.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on all the fear-mongering, but deep down you try and minimize viral exposure and your risk of getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine nasal solution. I don't need to tell you just how powerful a nasal cleansing formula with xylitol, povidone iodine, and vitamin D3 for immune support could be. In fact, my attorney told me not to tell you. Google it and find out for yourself. Now, get yourself a bottle of American-made Cofix RX Nasal Solution. Let's get out and live again. CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com. Use coupon code OUTLOUD and get 20% off.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're going to take this I Side With quiz to find out, where do I stand on the issues? You'll be able to hear my words. And I'm going to put this out there at the start of this. Just because this is my view does not mean that I believe the government should always enforce my views. I think that that's another really important part. Because I think you can have a view, and then what the government decides to do, it's not about Greg Bolden. It's about the Republic. It's about how our checks and balances work, and I have to respect that at the end of the day. It's part of living in this great country. So let's get straight into this 2023 political quiz. With the first question, should the government continue to fund Planned Parenthood? And the answer is yes, no, or other stances. And so my answer to this question would be no. And there is a qualifier on this. And my qualifier is no, and the government should also not give funds to any organizations. That's my answer. How important is that question to me? Least, less, somewhat, more, or most? It's actually more important to me. I believe in limited government. And I believe because of that limited government, that's one spot where, no, it should not be involved in that. Now, I know that there's going to be people, but it's life-saving. It's helping the poor. What did we do before government got involved in all of those things? You know, it was people that helped fund those. The people go, well, there were these back alley type of things and it was unsafe. No, no, you're lying. Because actually the number one person or organization that was providing was the Catholic Church back then. And the Catholic Church was extremely generous with how they supported that. You can fact check that one too. Anyway, I can't get into every single question because this would be like a 5-hour show if we were to do that. I want to keep this to about 20 minutes. Let's try to get through. What's my stance on abortion? Pro-life, pro-choice, or other stances? I am a pro-life individual, and that is more important to me on the scale simply because I believe that when you have a pro-life stance, that helps the moral integrity, the good stewardship of the earth. All right, now we can get into the other stances some other day, but if you're asking me personally, I'm pro-life. Should health insurance providers be required to offer free birth control? Well, if you heard my answer earlier, you probably already know that no, your health insurance provider can do whatever they want to do. And you have the ability to go get whatever other type of health insurance you want. So that's my answer there. Now, it gives me this option. Should I open up to more social questions? Should gender identity be added to anti-discrimination laws? My answer on that one is going to be no, because anti-discrimination should already cover everybody during that time. If you go back through there, we can see there are anti-discrimination laws for private companies. All right. I would say that I would even go as far as repealing those as well. See, there's this great thing about the free market that works in society. The people don't have to work for companies they don't believe in. They don't have to support them as well. That's part of capitalism. And so I don't believe that anyone should be discriminating somebody based upon identity or mental illness or sickness that they may have. You know, somebody could have cancer or whether they're pregnant. I don't believe anybody. But if a company wants to make that choice for themselves, they have the right to make that. And people have the right to make the choice on whether they want to support that company or not. Did I support the legalization of same-sex marriage? My answer to that question is yes. People love who they love. I don't care. I got married in a church. Same-sex marriage couple does not make my marriage any less valid in the church. It's a government-recognized marriage. I would actually say the government should get completely out of marriage. I shouldn't need a government marriage license, but that's neither here nor there. That's my answer. And should transgender athletes be allowed to compete against athletes that differ from their assigned sex at birth? My answer is a strong no. I've talked about that on my show before. Let's get into healthcare issues. So the federal government increased funding of healthcare for low-income individuals, Medicaid. Well, I have to click on the other stances there, because what I would say is let's increase only for certain individuals, but I'm not sure what that would be. So the low-income individuals, yeah, I believe that some form of healthcare is an absolute human right. Right? You have a right to life, and if you have a right to life, then you have a right to healthcare. I would put in something here to, I don't know. I'm just going to answer this yes, because I don't have time to read through all these other options and then continue moving. Do I support the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, Obamacare? My answer on that is no. Reason why is we have a broken healthcare system in here. And at the time that thing was coming out, everybody knew that it was going to get more expensive over time. That this would make Obama look great the first few years, even under the next president would look great, and then it was going to get worse. We're now in the worse. I have a family member who is insulin dependent, and once they got over to the retirement age, it's been very difficult with the donut holes and the different loopholes that Obamacare has brought in the pricing. Obamacare has in many ways hurt the healthcare industry, because here in the United States, we are completely, completely upside down on the way that we do healthcare. Should the government require employees of large businesses to be vaccinated from COVID? No. And I'm going to put that's most important. That takes away people's rights. You know, people that respond back to the, you know, my body, my choice, I'm pro-choice. Well, where the hell was that type of concept during COVID? My body, my choice. Then it's, well, no, it's not your choice because it could affect somebody else, which was completely bullcrap to begin with, because it didn't stop other people from getting sick. So if people wanted to go get vaccinated, go ahead, get vaccinated. Should the government fund the World Health Organization? No. We should fund and our own organization. I don't even know if I agree with that, the CDC, at this point in time. I don't know how much I trust. Should people be required to work in order to receive Medicaid? Yes. However, if there was like another stance on that, I would say that there's some type of healthcare system that must be available to everybody. And there is. Right now, anyone can walk into a hospital and receive care. No one's getting turned away during that. Just we don't have the best system in place for that. And then they want to know if I support a single payer healthcare system. And yeah, I need another stance on that. I think I do, but I want to also allow private insurance. I want the free markets to be able to be a part of it. Electoral issues. Should there be a 5-year ban on the White House congressional officials from becoming lobbyists after they leave government? Yes. But I would go even further than that. I'd say there's no lobbying ever. You serve, you never become a lobbyist, because that sounds to me like you still have your hands in the pot and making money on top. Should the Electoral College be abolished? No, because we are a republic, and that's most important to me. Yes, I understand gerrymandering. I understand all that. Okay, I'm not for these rezoning of everything. But the point of the Electoral College doesn't get lost. That we are not a country that should be listening to New York City and California in order to make all of our decisions. There are people in the heartland that need to be represented. And as a result, the Electoral College allows that to be represented, that the person that owns a farm can also be represented against the person who lives in a city dealing with the city issues. Should a photo ID be required to vote? Yes. And if anyone has a problem with a photo ID, or at least a government form of ID to verify who you are, I'd like to ask you, why is it you would not want to know that your vote, number one, counted properly, and that no one took your vote away from you? It was yours. This whole concept in a day and age where we can verify things so quickly, the fact that we still have people arguing not to have a photo ID that require the vote, I think is a horrible mismanagement. And it governs into mistrust, and that's not a good thing. Should foreigners currently residing in the United States have the right to vote? No. Unless they're a citizen. They should not. Should political candidates be required to release their recent tax returns to the public? Yes. The reason why I would say yes is because I want to know that there's not financial interest that could harm. And this would go for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. You know, if you get their recent tax returns, you can understand that. Should there be a limit to the amount of money a candidate can receive from a donor? Yes. Yeah, I don't want my elections bought and paid for, which they already are. There's so many loopholes in that, too. I would actually say, yes, I want to limit the amount of money. And on top of that, I would love for to go even further. I would say there's no money allowed for any candidates, period. A candidate all gets the same equal treatment in order to get the word out. And that's a pipe dream, but that's where I'd like to go. Science issues. This is going to be interesting. Should the government require children to be vaccinated for preventable diseases? Wow, that's going to be a loaded question here. I'm going to put yes, but only for deadly contagious diseases. But I also believe that that's only the things that are going to possibly affect everybody. Now, when I call deadly contagious diseases, COVID's not one of them. So that would be... That'd be an interesting one. I don't think that this really gives me an answer that I'm comfortable with. So I'm going to have to put no to it because I don't see one that really goes with my view, which is unfortunate because I probably have more time to put that out. But if it's something that could really harm others, then yes, I understand the vaccination if you're going to be around other kids at public school. But if it's in your family and no, I don't, yeah, I guess I got to answer that as a no. Sorry to be talking through this. I hope this is not boring you as I'm going through. Maybe you're thinking where you stand on all of this. Do you support the use of nuclear energy? Yes, it's clean energy. It's great. It's excellent. It can be done extremely safe at this point in time. Should producers be required to label genetically engineered food, GMOs? Yes, absolutely. This is done in Europe so much more better than we do here in the United States. Should the government fund space travel? No. We have plenty of private companies that are able to do this at this point in time. Let the free market work on space travel. Open up the resources to all of us. We know what's going on. Take the secrecy out of outer space. If found guilty, should former President Trump be pardoned for mishandling classified documents? If he's found guilty, should he be pardoned? No. But if Clinton and Biden also mishandled classified documents, then they should be prosecuted the exact same way. We shouldn't have separate standards for one president. Domestic policy issues. Should local police increase surveillance and patrol of Muslim neighborhoods? No. Either you believe in freedom of individuals or you do not. Depending on their religious standpoint, that just does not. No. I don't believe that you increase anywhere. You apply fair and equal standards to all. Should there be more restrictions on the current process of purchasing a gun? No. There's plenty of restrictions. Let's actually enforce the laws that are on the books. Let's get attorney generals to do their jobs, especially in the liberal cities, and make sure that people understand there's penalties. Because right now, obviously with Hunter Biden, they're not followed, and it's a joke. Should teachers be allowed to carry guns at school? I'm going to answer this question shockingly with a yes, although I need to look at the answers. No, there's really not an answer that would go with mine. So I have a CCDW. So I'm licensed to carry. My employer would not allow me to carry in school. I could lose my job. But if I was able to carry, yeah, I would. I think that, you know, it would be a lot less stressful for some people if there's ways to know that there were people that were armed in a school. But I also understand the dangers of that. Like if you had a teacher that, how would you verify that that teacher wouldn't be more of a threat? That teacher could handle the mental stress of that moment. Or if they turn the corner, it's a student that they really like that is doing the shooting. Could they do something, and do they have the training and skills? Like I know I shoot with a very high level of accuracy. That stated, I also go to the range a good amount of times. Not everybody that carries is as committed to range time and competency. So I think that that's an important question there. Anyway, I'm getting stuck on that because I'm a teacher, but I just wanted to say, yes, I do believe that some teachers should be allowed to carry guns at schools, but I also understand that it's up to the school district's policies, and I respect that. But I do think there's an issue that should be addressed. Should victims of gun violence be allowed to sue firearms dealers and manufacturers? No, not at all. Are you in favor of decriminalizing drug use? Yes. And this is my libertarian belief. I've lost a number of friends to heavy drugs, heroin, fentanyl, people that got involved because doctors prescribed painkillers and it went from one thing to the next. Once that got cracked down, I've lost some really good people in my life. They weren't horrible individuals. That all stated, there's this thought process that if you decriminalize all drugs, that the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. I don't believe that to be true. I've never woken up one day and was like, I hope that I can shoot something in my veins to make me feel something, or I need to smoke something or snort something. Like, that's never been anything that I've ever done or thought to do. It disgusts me, quite honestly. I'm just like, oh, why would I want to do that? So that all stated, yeah, like, take the stigmas away. And I think that a lot of the, like, taboo helps make some of the addiction go away as well. Should people on the no-fly list be banned from purchasing guns and ammunition? No. And the reason I say that is because we know that the no-fly list is highly political and an issue. Environmental issues. Should disposable products such as plastic cups, plates, and cutlery that contain less than 50% of biodegradable material be banned? No. We are going too far against plastic cups, plates, and cutlery right now. Although I would love to see us more earth conscious just in general, because our landfills are going to get super, super large. But right now we should be actually thinking about what's next. Instead of banning, let's just think about what's next and convert people over to. And there are some individuals that have ideas for that. Should the government increase environmental regulation to prevent climate change? No. What we're doing climate wise, from the scientists I've talked to and studies I've read, it's a huge propaganda push by government leaders that's creating billions and trillions of dollars, not billions, trillions of dollars, for governments to continue the climate change conversation. Should the U.S. withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement? I agree with what Donald Trump did originally by removing us from it. Other countries were not paying their fair share. We were funding it. Criminal issues. Should funding for local police departments be redirected to social and community-based programs? No. They shouldn't be. Fund the police. Should police departments be allowed to use military-grade equipment? No. That's become part of, I think, people's issue is watching the police become more and more militarized. So let's not do that. Let's let our local police be local police, your friendly neighborhood police. Do you support qualified immunity for police officers? No. Police officers should be held to the same standard. Although I did talk to a police officer, Mike Termont, who explained to me the qualified immunity in a very nice way of saying, well, it's important that police officers at least are judged by other police officers because they're more aware of where things stand regarding the stress of that situation. I disagree with Mike, but I said to him I would be okay with one police officer to explain that, but it still needs to be a jury of peers when they get to that. Let's get to national security issues. We're more than halfway done here. We're about, we're coming up on the end of the show, so I'll try to get through these quickly. Should the president be able to authorize military force against Al-Qaeda without congressional approval? No. No, the president should always use Congress for any war acts. Should the U.S. assassinate suspected terrorists in foreign countries? Nope. I believe in the principle of blowback. When the United States gets involved in foreign countries, it will have blowback later on to us. Should the president mobilize the U.S. military against the Mexican drug cartels? If they go to Congress and they find it needs to be an act of war, then yeah, sure. But that's not really a stance on here. That's tough for me to answer. Let's say no, let's secure the borders. Education issues. Should the federal government pay for tuition at four-year colleges? Absolutely not. No, no, no. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Anytime the government gives out money, the colleges simply raise the tuition, and it's a race to the bottom. That's exactly what would happen. Should critical race theory be taught in K through 12 education? I teach, I think, what some people would call critical race theory, but it's not critical race theory. I call it, you teach history. And if you're teaching history, well, you don't need to label it critical race theory. Look, if you got to create a curriculum solely to be able to support this, then no, I don't support it. But I think all teachers should be teaching good history to begin with. So in audio, radio, and video, I teach about blackface. I teach about the unequal opportunities of a black community against a white community in film and the early implementation of it and how it hurt stereotypes. Now, I don't think that I in any way, shape, or form, I was teaching this before critical race theory. It was simply, I always tell my students, you got to know your history so you never go back and repeat it. Do you support increasing taxes for the rich in order to reduce interest rates for student loans? No. I believe in a much fairer tax, but that's not one of the questions, but yeah, no. Foreign policy, should the government increase or decrease military spending? Decrease. Should foreign terrorism suspects be given constitutional rights? No, they don't have constitutional rights. Should the U.S. remain in the United Nations? Nope, if it was up to Greg Bolden, we would not belong in the United Nations. Should the government increase spending on public transportation? Yes, that's one of the few things that I support in expanding. Better access, getting places, that helps the economy in multiple ways and helps the poor as well. Should the technology of our financial system transition to a decentralized protocol that is not owned or controlled by any corporation similar to the internet? Nope. It should not unless it's, well, okay. If it's not controlled by any corporation, not controlled by the Fed, then yes. Okay. I'm just making sure I'm reading that question. I don't believe that we should have a government centralized currency. I believe it should be completely. And that's why I loved Bitcoin and I loved seeing what was going on in crypto early on. But I think the Fed now has their reins on it. Should the U.S. raise taxes on the rich? No. It should be a fairer tax. Should the government raise the federal minimum wage? Nope. I don't believe in a government minimum wage. I believe that that's up to the place to decide what they want to pay. And then based upon that, you decide where you want to work. Housing issues. Should homeless individuals that have refused available shelter or housing be allowed to sleep or encamp on public property? Wow, that's a crazy question. I've worked with the homeless on this. If you're refusing available shelter and you're refusing housing, then the answer is going to be no. Should the U.S. build a wall along the southern border? I actually spoke with people in Yuma, Arizona about this very issue. And they were saying that when the wall was being built, things were going really well. When the wall stopped being built, and now there's plenty of easy ways since Donald Trump's presidency, things have gotten really bad in Yuma. So, yes, let's continue to build a wall. Should illegal immigrants have access to government-subsidized health care? Nope. Should undocumented immigrants be offered in-state tuition rates at public colleges within their residing state? Nope. Go through the legal processes. Which political party do you most identify with? I'm going to put Libertarian and Republican. I can't do that, so I'll put Libertarian. I think that's closest where I'm at. If the 2024 Congressional District at Large U.S. House of Representatives election were held today, which candidate would you vote for? I'm not going to answer any of these questions right now because I'm just not really interested in answering those. I want to get to the bottom. Public opinion. It's a bunch of people about Andre Dawson switching jobs. Nope. Let's continue. All right. Which qualities are most important to you in your candidates? Common sense, transparency, integrity, morality, vision, honesty, electability is important, unfortunately, effectiveness, and some other stances. Cool. And let's go show my results. The moment you've all been waiting for. So I side most with three parties, 78% Constitution Party, 74% Republican Party, and 72% Libertarian. The rest of the parties I do not identify with. Of 34% Peace and Freedom, 29% Green, 27% Socialist, and finally 23% the Democrat Party. So only a little bit of issues there, and then none of the other parties. So no surprise there. And the reason why they picked those for me was I am a small government, decentralization, individual, that I believe in traditions, and that I believe in the libertarian principles. So that was the way that I got ranked according to this. And then it gave me where I rank upon other individuals. And that's kind of interesting. So you can see your charts, whether I'm left, right. And so it put a star. I'm going to take a photo of this so that way you guys can see where I'm at. I am a centrist to economic freedom right wing. Starred in, so yeah, I lean right, but I'm not far right, and I'm a little bit more to libertarian, but I'm not completely, but it does have me closer to a libertarian centrist of on the economic freedom side. Very interesting. It does not show me as a far right or a huge libertarian or far left or a huge authoritarian. Definitely above, but I'm leaning to the right. So there it is, everybody. I will post it so you can see exactly where I lean. I hope this was helpful. Maybe you now know when you listen to me next where I stand on the issues, and maybe that's helpful as we continue the conversation throughout the course of the week. I hope that you enjoyed today's show, both the first half and second half, and I'll be back tomorrow. As always, you can follow me at Real Greg Bolden on Twitter or on my website, AmericaEmboldened.com, where you can contact me and reach out and help support the show. And as always, right here on the America Out Loud Network every Monday through Friday, I'm glad to be here with you. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.